Welcome to the Best of the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with sound biblical teaching and spiritual discernment, but to help you become a winsome and fruitful witness of Jesus Christ. Because the credibility of our faith hinges on the answers we provide to life's biggest questions, there's often not a second chance to get those answers right. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, call 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. Or go to our website at equip.org. That's equip.org. The following program was pre-recorded. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. We'll be going to the calls in just a few moments. I do want to mention at the outset of this broadcast, particularly because we are in the month of December, that your partnership really makes a difference. It makes a difference in the lives of real people around the globe. And quite frankly, I don't know when in our lifetimes making a difference mattered more. I'm not just talking about you and me as individuals, but I'm talking about the future of civilization as we know it. In the early days, way back when, I've been doing this broadcast for a long time, the battle as far as the Christian Research Institute was concerned was waged primarily against the wrong-headed claims of cults like the Mormons and the Jehovah's Witnesses, those who failed to rightly understand Scripture or who dangerously concoct extra-biblical truths based on spurious revelations, ongoing revelations. And yet today, the battle for truth has, I would say, become an all-out war for even fundamental conceptions of reality. What else could explain the woke insanity of people now having periods, a man having a period, or a woman being called a he? And tragically, it isn't just truth that's at stake. It's literally millions of lives as witnessed by the endless war on the unborn and by the alarming rates of suicide among young people. This should alarm all thinking people. There's a cancerous growth now in play of a cancer culture that wants to silence all dissent to their increasingly intolerant demands for ideological conformity. And of course, these people represent a very real threat, not only to people of faith, to our religious freedoms, but to the very foundations and fabric of a free society. Of course, my aim here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast today is not to lament the darkness, but it is to thank God for ministry partners who have stood with us to light 1,000 candles. I just want to say that you're making a difference, not only for time, but also for eternity. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to the phone lines, talk to Nathan in Oklahoma City, listening on the web. Hi, Nathan.
Hey, Hank. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
My question is simple, I guess. I am a Protestant who's thinking about going to the Orthodox Church. And the stumbling block that I have so far is their doctrine of original sin. They don't have it, from what I understand. So I'm just trying to understand what the Orthodox Church teaches on that. They told me that it was started by Augustine. And from what I understand, Augustine is a church father, so why wouldn't we go off of his teachings?
Yeah. Well, again, it's Augustine, and what I would say about this is that the Orthodox do have a very fruitful notion of original sin. They believe that in the grand meta-narrative of the biblical text, the doctrine of original or ancestral sin looms quite large. Orthodox hold that Adam disobeyed and the whole of humanity inherited his broken gene. In other words, inherited an inclination towards sin, a disease that leads inexorably to death. They believe what the Apostle Paul taught, that sin entered the world through one man and death through sin, and in that way, death came to all people because all sinned. You can go back to St. Athanasius. In his four discourses against the Arians, he summed up the doctrine of ancestral sin by saying, when Adam had transgressed, his sin reached unto all men. So all of us are born with a broken gene. Now, as Scripture holds, so the Orthodox hold, that we are not responsible for the sin of anyone else. We are responsible for our own sin. We've certainly ratified Adam's sin, but we are responsible for our own sin. And of course, we see this in living color when we read Ezekiel chapter 18, where the word of the Lord comes to Ezekiel saying, "What do you people mean by quoting a proverb about the land of Israel?" You know, this famous proverb that was being quoted at the time was that the fathers eat sour grapes and the children's teeth are set on edge. And then here's what the Lord says through Ezekiel, a rough paraphrase at least, "You will no longer quote that proverb. For every living soul belongs to me, the father as well as the son, both alike belong to me. It's the soul who sins. That is the soul who will die." Now, that's not a singular statement. That is a statement that is repeated in various ways through an entire chapter of the Bible. And the Orthodox hold to Scripture as faithfully communicated through holy tradition. So there are aspects that have percolated in Christian theology over the years that the Orthodox wouldn't hold to, but they most certainly hold to ancestral sin, that all of us are born with a broken gene.
Thank you very much, Hank. I've been struggling with that for a while now, so I appreciate it.
You got it, Nathan. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. Talk to Mark in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Mark.
Yeah, hi, Hank. Hank, just a couple of quick questions concerning preterism.
Yeah.
Now, I know you're not a full preterist, but the thing is, I'm just wondering if you might be able to help me with a question concerning what they believe. And the question is, obviously, all other Christians besides full preterists believe that the end of human history as we know it obviously will finish at the second coming of Christ. The full preterists obviously believe that the second coming of Christ happened 2,000 years ago. So I'm just wondering if you know if they, full preterists, have any speculation as to how far or how long human history might continue.
No, they don't. And of course, as you've sort of alluded to already, the events of the first century fulfilled all biblical eschatology in their view. And that includes the second coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and the final judgment. And therefore, there is no future bodily return of Christ. The resurrection has been completely redefined by full preterism. And that's why I have said in my own writings that full preterism is a heresy. I'm not a preterist in one way or the other. I'm not a partial preterist, nor am I a full preterist, obviously. But I think if you're asking the question of what they would say about the future in terms of biblical speculation, they would say the Bible doesn't say anything about it. They have no context for it in that sense.
Right. Okay, very quick question, Hank. It seems to me, though, the term partial preterism seems to me to be an unnecessary designation because All Christians believe that the first century or the seven churches mentioned in chapters 2 and 3, although many of them say that they prefigure and symbolize the church history, they also do believe that those seven churches did actually occur in the first century. So in that sense, all Christians believe that obviously some of those events in Revelation, again, the chapters 2 and 3, did pertain to something historical. So it seems to me that the term partial preterist seems to be a little bit unnecessary.
And I do think it's a good distinction, because partial preterism does lie within the pale of Orthodox Christianity in that it postulates the bodily return of Christ, the bodily resurrection of the dead, and the final resolution of sin is yet future. Going to have to leave it at that, Mark, because I am coming up to a station break. I've written about this in a book called The Apocalypse Code. Find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. We'll be back in just a few moments. Please don't touch that dial.
Despite the growing spiritual and moral darkness and ominous cultural storm clouds on the horizon, dedicated followers of the Lord Jesus are making a genuine difference. Through the Bible Answer Man broadcast, the Christian Research Journal, and a website bursting with both scholarly and practical resources, your generous support has enabled the Christian Research Institute to equip fellow believers at home and abroad to be winsome and credible witnesses to the life-transforming power of the resurrected Christ. Because so much remains at stake in the lives of so many, please prayerfully consider a special Christmas or year-end gift today in support of CRI's life-changing outreaches, and call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or visit online at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man.
For the first time in history, the world shut itself down, by choice, fearful of a virus that wasn't well understood. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. We need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. In The Price of Panic, Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the worst panic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.
Breaking the code of the Book of Revelation has become an international obsession. The result has been rampant misreading of Scripture, bad theology, and even bad politics and foreign policy. In The Apocalypse Code, find out what the Bible really says about the end times and why it matters today. Hank Hanegraaff argues that the key to understanding the last book of the Bible is the other 65 books of the Bible, not current events or recent history. The Apocalypse Code offers sane answers to some very controversial questions, such as, what does it mean to take the book of Revelation literally? Who are the Antichrist and the Great Whore of Babylon? And what is the real meaning of 666? Order The Apocalypse Code by Hank Hanegraaff today. Available in softcover, MP3 CD, or MP3 download from equip.org. Or call 888-7000-CRI. The number of wolves surrounding the Christian flock is growing, and they relish nothing more than docile sheep utterly incapable of defending themselves. From militant secularists at home to militant Islamists abroad, the assaults on biblical Christianity are growing dangerously. But Christian Research Institute support team members aren't in favor of feeding these wolves. Instead, each day they're making possible an array of outreaches that defang these wolf packs with solid arguments and evidence that have stood the test of time. What's more, support team members are equipping themselves themselves with CRI's Equipping Essentials, a hand-picked collection of the best apologetics tools around. Your selection of resources, along with a complimentary subscription to the Christian Research Journal, are just our way of saying thanks. To learn more about the benefits of membership, simply visit equip.org. Once again, that's equip.org. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. The world will reopen and life will go on, but what kind of world will it be when it does? It can't be what it was because of what's just happened. In The Price of Panic, Professors J. Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the most unprecedented global event in a generation, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI. Or visit us at equip.org. We now return to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Well, let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk next to Roger, listening in Louisiana, Sirius XM 131. Hi, Roger.
Hi, Hank. It's a pleasure to talk to you.
Nice to talk to you.
My question is about Psalm 14:1 that says, "If the fool says in his heart, there is no God." From reading through Scripture, I don't see any evidence back then of people who didn't believe in God. In fact, everything I would read shows that they were polytheists. Would this be some sort of prediction or prophecy, perhaps, of atheism?
No, not at all. In fact, when you read through Scripture, you do see evidence of atheism, because if you didn't see evidence of atheism, you wouldn't see this passage in the Scripture, which says, "The fool says in his heart, there is no God." There are people in every epoch of time that suppress the truth in unrighteousness. It's not that they can't know, it's that they won't know. They don't want to know. There's plenty of light to find God, and there's plenty of darkness to obscure him if you don't want to find him. So in every epoch of time, there are people who obscure the light that could be theirs. Now, there's a sense in which we can say in no epoch of time is there truly an atheist. And the reason we can say that is because God has written a knowledge of himself on the tablet of our consciousness, as Paul points out in Romans chapter 2, and therefore men are without excuse. But you got to be very careful not to read this in the sense of thinking that at that time there weren't people that were suppressing the truth of God. Of course there were. They may have called themselves atheists, but they were people who said there was no God.
All right, Hank, I appreciate it.
Hey, you got it. Back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Gary next in Rogers, Arkansas. Hi, Gary.
Hi, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you.
Good. I have a question that's been bothering me for years. My ex-wife lost two babies by tubular and also two by miscarriage, and they're all like 2 to 3 months old. My question, sir, is when I get to paradise, are they going to be children or are they going to be grown up?
Well, when you get to paradise, they're going to have flowered to complete perfection, which is to say, when you get to the new heavens and the new earth, when Jesus appears a second time, our DNA will be what it was designed to be. So what happens when Jesus appears a second time? The soul returns to the body, and the body is resurrected, immortal, imperishable, incorruptible. So the child never had a chance to develop. It was a person in all stages of its development. It just didn't have a fully developed personality. And in eternity, that child will be fully developed in every aspect, designed perfectly, and what they would have been if sin had never entered the world.
So what you're saying is that they would be an adult, not a child.
Well, they would be in full form, which is to say, you think about a rose. It can be a bud, and it can have blossomed. But it is in full blossom, and that would be an analogy for our DNA having developed itself to full perfection, to what it was intended to be. So it's not just the pattern, but the building is up exactly as it was intended to be.
Okay, that makes sense. And of course, being I never knew them, we would be able to recognize each other, correct?
Well, you will know them because you will learn and grow and develop and have relationships with loved ones in eternity. The relationships will be different, but not in the sense of negation, but rather in the sense of something that is greatly enhanced. In eternity, we will be what we were intended to be in every sense, in terms of our personalities and in terms of our physical prowess. So the DNA, as I said, is programmed in such a way that at a particular point, we reach optimal development from a functional perspective. For the most part, it appears that we reach that stage somewhere in our 20s or 30s. And prior to that, the development of our bodies exceeds the devolution of our bodies. But from that point on, the rate of breakdown exceeds the rate of buildup, which eventually leads to physical death. And all of that is simply to say that if the blueprint for our glorified bodies is in the DNA, then it stands to reason that our bodies will be resurrected at the optimal stage of development determined by our DNA. And as we learn and grow, we're going to discover more and more relationships. I can't tell you exactly how that's going to work. I can tell you this, we will not be omniscient. We will not know everything. So we're going to learn and grow and develop relationships and explorations, and we're going to grow in our ability to more fully appreciate the God who saved us by His grace, and we'll never come to an end of exploring God.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Hank. That made my day.
Well, thank you for calling. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Mike. He's listening in California on the web. Hi, Mike.
Yeah, hi, Hank. How's it going?
Good, thank you.
My question is, after the second coming and, you know, paradise comes to earth and we're all, you know, perfect for eternity, we're still going to have free will, am I correct?
Yeah, we will have free will. That's correct.
So essentially, this whole Adam and Eve, if there is another tree of knowledge and someone could eat from it, and we're right back in the same boat as we are now.
Well, not at all, because that's not going to happen. And the reason we know that it's not going to happen is that that's what the scriptures teach. In this life, our position in Christ is one of righteousness. In the life to come, we will be righteous in practice as well. So Christ's ultimate purpose for His bride is to present her to Himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So the Scripture tells us that our position in Christ is one of righteousness, but in the life to come, we're going to be righteous in practice as well. But there's a second point here that I think is very important, and that is there's not going to be any temptation, and therefore there's not going to be any sin. In the present, we're bombarded by the temptations of the world, the flesh, the devil. But in paradise restored, the problem of sin and Satan is forever resolved. So again, no tempter, no temptation. And then the other thing that I think is important to point out is that we'll be actualized in righteousness. We'll be free to be what God made us to be. And that does not rob us of our freedom. Actualization is the quintessence of freedom. We freely give up the freedom to sin in exchange for freedom from sin. So think about it. As you grow in your relationship with God on this earth, you're growing ever closer to Him. You're loving Him more day by day as you get to know Him more and more day by day. In eternity, imagine that now you see Him as He really is. In other words, the effulgence of His beauty. If you loved Him in this earth such that you are a participant in the kingdom and now are going to heaven and spending eternity with him, you're going to love him in a sense that you cannot even imagine now. So the whole idea of sin will not even be on the table because there's no tempter. The Bible says you're not going to sin, and you're going to be actualized in your righteousness.
So there's no way for another Satan to evolve?
Well, no, because the thing that we know about the new heavens and the new earth is when Jesus appears a second time, the problem of sin and Satan will forever have been resolved. I mean, that's one of the things that happens when Jesus appears a second time. No more sin, no more Satan, no more flesh. We will be actualized in righteousness.
Okay.
The universe itself, the same thing. It now groans and travails. But what does the Bible say in Romans 8? It will be liberated from its bondage to decay, and we too ourselves.
Okay. Well, that makes sense.
Appreciate your call, and it's another question answered in the Complete Bible Answer Book Collector's Edition, revised and updated, available through the Ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can check it out on the web at equip.org. And for those who join the CRI support team, be pleased to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend. We're out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We'll be back next week with more answers to your questions. Look forward to talking to you then.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. To learn more about Hank or the Christian Research Institute, just go to equip.org. Equip.org is a fountain of information and resources designed to help you defend the faith and grow in your knowledge of the truth. You can also stream the broadcast live or download archived broadcast. To talk with a resource consultant by phone, call 888-7000-CRI. Or you can write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina 28271. The preceding program was pre-recorded. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter.
For the first time in history, the world shut itself down by choice, fearful of a virus that wasn't well understood. The government ordered the closure of countless businesses, many never to return. Schools sent students home to be taught in front of a computer. Churches canceled worship services. Social distancing went from a non-word to a moral obligation overnight. We need to know what happened to keep it from ever happening again. In The Price of Panic, Professors Jay Richards, William Briggs, and Douglas Axe examine the worst panic-induced disaster in history, the COVID-19 pandemic. To receive your copy of The Price of Panic, How the Tyranny of Experts Turned a Pandemic into a Catastrophe, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org.